Revelation 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last great and seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a great wall and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundation, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. Verse 22. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. The Lord will bless the reading of his word.
Thank you, Young. Well, today we come to chapter 21. Very interesting if you omit the chapter division. We started last week in chapter 20 with the imprisonment of the devil in the abyss for 1,000 years. Then followed the thousand-year reign of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the end of that thousand-year reign, the end of chapter 20, we have that last and final judgment of all the dead, those who had died in their sins. So you see, in that chapter, we had a chronological order of events. Now that continues straight now into chapter 21. Because when we come to chapter 21, from the judgment, that final judgment of the wicked, we now come to John, and he now speaks about a new heavens and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth having passed away. So now we have in chapter 21 a continuation of the sequence of events. For after the great white throne judgment, we will then have, in this chapter, we have the eternal state introduced. And here in these opening, I suppose, 8 verses, we have a glimpse of that eternal state. Now, there's a lot of controversy among preachers in relation to this chapter, as to whether the chapter has 2 parts to it. The first part dealing with the eternal state, and then from verse 9 onwards to verse 5 of chapter 22, the angel taking John back to the 1,000-year reign of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there is a lot of discussion and controversy as to whether chapter 22 is all to do with the eternal state, or whether in verse 9 we have now the step backward into the millennial reign of Christ. And we see there the city that came down from heaven, now described in all its glory. But we're not going to get into the arguments, because there are great men on both sides of the argument as to whether it's all the eternal state in this chapter or it's just part and part. But we will notice, of course, in verse number 1, John says that he saw a new heavens and a new earth. The question is it something newly created? Or is it like the old world that was covered with the flood, purged by the flood, and then after the flood, the earth that then had been purged, God started again? Well, John says, I saw a new heavens and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth having passed away. Now, those 2 words, passed away, when you get to chapter to verse number 4, we find it refers to former things. So in that verse, these 2 words, passed away, means passed away forever. They're no longer existent. So it could well be that what we have in verse 1 is God bringing in a new heavens and a new earth. The first heaven and earth now passed away out of existence, and God has brought in something altogether new. Now, I say that, although, of course, there is discussion as to whether that is so or not. But that seems to be the point, simply because of the words that's used. These 2 words passed away in verse 1, and how they're used again in verse number 4. So what we have before us in these opening verses is a new heavens and a new earth. You remember the psalmist said that the very heavens are not clean in thy sight. Sin had touched the very heavens, and sin had brought pollution upon the earth. And so God is now starting again in the opening verse, and we have a new heavens and a new earth. And in verse 2,
I saw John, the holy city.
John says now he saw the holy city come down out from heaven, come down from heaven and from God. And now we have introduced to this new heavens and a new earth, a holy city, a new Jerusalem. So now we have brought before us that in the eternal state, there will be a new Jerusalem, a holy city, which will be the home of all the redeemed. And so we find that when John looks at this city and sees it come down from out of heaven, and that from God, he describes it for us in the following passages from verse 10 onwards. So it seems then, with the new heavens and the new earth, with the new earth there will be a new Jerusalem. It's called Holy Jerusalem. It's a new city, a holy city, and it's a new Jerusalem. So that new Jerusalem, that holy city, will be the home on this new earth of all the redeemed. That is, the Old Testament saints would have been raised by now, and all the tribulation saints would have been raised. And of course, the church would already have been raised and be with Christ. And so we find that John is given to us in these opening verses just a glimpse of what it will be in the eternal state when time is no more. And then when we come to verse 3.
And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God.
Now, that's very interesting when you come to verse 3. John hears a voice, well, he calls it a great voice out from heaven. Actually, it's the voice of God from off the throne. And now he speaks about tabernacling with men. Now, if you remember, that's how God began at the very beginning of humanity. When God created Adam and Eve, remember, it was that he might have communion with them day after day and day by day. And so God's initial purpose was that he might have communion, tabernacle, with man and have whole communion with him. But we do know, of course, with the entrance of sin, that was all spoiled. And so we find God could no longer dwell tabernacle amongst men. Not now until we come to the book of Exodus, when God now introduces, you know, a physical, material tabernacle. And the reason why, that I might dwell among the people. So God again, in the days of Israel, and when the tabernacle was raised up according to the instructions of God, God once more was going to dwell and commune among his people. And of course, we know the tabernacle gave place to the temple in David's time and the temple of Solomon's time. But ultimately, that communion was altogether spoiled again because of failure and because of sin. But here in verse 3, God's purpose at the very beginning is going to be realized in what we now call the eternal state. God is going to tabernacle amongst men and commune with them. And as he says, God will be their God and they would be his people. So you see how things are developing in these opening verses.
God shall wipe away all tears.
They were told what God will do. In relation to the new heavens and the new earth, he will wipe away all tears from the eyes. Things are going to be different in that eternal state. No tear will ever dim the eye of any of the redeemed. And then he's going, of course, there's going to be no more death. And there's going to be no more sorrow. And there's going to be
no more crying.
No more crying.
No pain.
And no more pain. So what God is going to do in relation to that new earth, that among the redeemed who will live upon that earth, there'll be none of these former things that have marked the earth of this present time and humanity at this present time. God is going to wipe every tear from the eyes of his saints. And there'll be no more death. Therefore, sorrow and crying and pain will be no more. And so we find that the Apostle John has been given just a glimpse of what it will be in the eternal state.
And he that sat upon the throne and said, behold, I'll make all things new.
Now says verse number 5, God speaking from off the throne, behold, I make all things new. So everything will be new in the eternal state, when God will realize his purpose to the full, and God will tabernacle with men, dwell amongst men, commune men, all those who've been redeemed as a result of the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ.
And he said unto me, it is done, I am also in the meat of the beginning.
Now we're introduced to the very character of God. He says, it is done, the work is done. The new heaven and new earth established. And he describes himself as the Alpha and the Omega. I notice that some translations omit those two words there and just leave the beginning and the end. But such is the eternal character of God. These expressions are used. Alpha being the first letter and Omega being the last letter of the Hebrew language. And therefore we find that God is the beginning and the end. And of course, everything in between. And so we have then in these verses what God has purposed for time when this present heaven and earth have passed away. Please.
And he that overcometh shall inherit all things, that will
be his God. Now he just tells us now, because now the one that overcomes will inherit all things. But those who did not avail themselves of the salvation of God, and now they're listed. And that have their part in the second death. That is the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. And so these opening verses of the chapter give us a glimpse of what it will be in the eternal state, in that new heavens, the new earth, when God is tabernacling with men. Now then, from verse 9 right through to verse 5 of chapter 22, John is given a description. He's given a sight of this city, and we have this full description of this holy city, this New Jerusalem. Now, then what we have in these opening verses, of course, is that city in relation to eternity. Some think that what we have now in these verses, the same city, but in relation to the millennial reign of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we'll leave that particular point. What John is given is to see the city in all its detail. So then we find for the last time that John was carried away in the spirit. And not now to a wilderness, as in chapter 17, to see the harlot, and Babylon, but rather he's carried up into a high mountain. And now he carries into a high mountain to see this new city, this holy city, this new Jerusalem. And its character and its beauty is described for us as a bride adorned for her husband. And so John is first impressed with the perfection of the beauty of this new city, of this holy city, the new Jerusalem, which will be the dwelling place of all the redeemed. And then we find, as we go through these verses, John is going to be given that detailed description of what will be in relation to the future.
Having the glory of God and her light is our own, and like unto a stone.
Now then, what marks this city is this: they will have the glory of God, and the glory of God will be the light of the city. So he's going to tell us that really, in relation to this city, there'll be no need of the sun and of the moon, for God will be the light, and the Lamb, the Lord God Almighty, and the Lamb will be the light of this city. And let me just say this, that this city will be the dwelling place of the bride, that is the church as the bride. So the city is bride-like in its beauty. It will be the home of the church as the bride of Christ eternally. And so we find that this city will have a particular place in the purposes of God. For not only will it be the home of the church, it will be the home, of course, of restored and redeemed Israel. And it will be the home also of all those who've been raised, all those who've been resurrected. And so this city, and when you look at the measurements, you can see why it is so large. It's going to be the home of all these different ones. I think the church as the bride of Christ would have that place of nearness to Christ in this city that is bride-like in its beauty. But Israel will be there, and all the redeemed of the Old Testament saints, they will be there. And the saints who have been raised after the persecution at the tribulation period, this city will be the home of all and each of these companies of the redeemed. I just like to point out, because a city is likened unto a bride adorned for her husband, that describes for us the perfection of beauty associated with this city, because it seems to take its character, if you will, from the bride of Christ in the perfection of her beauty. For, as we well know, the church at this present time is not seen to be the bride of Christ in all her beauty, but will be in this coming day. Then we have described for us, we have the wall, and we have the gates, and we have the foundations. Now I take this to be a literal city. The description of it may be figurative, but just gives to us that it is a real city, the home of the redeemed, and especially for the bride of Christ, the church. And the description of it as to get just a glimpse of its glory and its beauty. Now we find that the wall and the gates and the foundations are all linked with precious stones. and pure gold. And so we find that in order that we might see something of the beauty of this city, this eternal city, this city in which we will all dwell eternally, we see that John is given to see it linked with precious stones, whether we think of the foundations, or whether we think of its gates, or whether we think of the walls of the city, for the city itself is as pure gold. And so John is given, as he comes to the close of this revelation, what will be after this present church age is concluded, and whether this city will be, having a reference to the millennial reign of Christ, and be the home of the saints during the millennium, it will be the eternal city eventually after the millennial reign of Christ.
And I saw no temple therein for the Lord God of
Israel. There was no temple, not in this city. Of course, in Jerusalem, there was always a temple, because the temple was a place where God made his presence known among his people. Just as in the tabernacle of old, the glory of his presence was made known as he dwelt between the cherubim above the mercy seat. But in this city of the future, there'd be no temple, simply because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb will dwell in this city, and their presence will make the whole city, as it were, a temple. And so that all in that city will have equal access unto God and enjoy the presence of God. And so John is given this remarkable picture of the city that is yet to be. And he saw it coming down from heaven. And he saw it coming from God out of heaven. And that, most probably, it will be the new Jerusalem of the millennial reign of Christ. But it will be also the new city, the holy city, the new Jerusalem, for the whole of eternity.
And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof.
It's interesting that no natural light will be required, not for this city. That's why some think this is still a description of the eternal state. Because in the millennium, of course, there will be the sun, there will be the moon, and the earth. No, will be just as it is today, sin will not be so active as it is at this present time. But it could well be that what is given to John is altogether throughout this whole chapter a glimpse of what will be eternally and our dwelling place, and that for eternity. Because in this city, they won't need the sun, and they will not need the moon to give light. But of course, if it is a millennial period, it's still true, isn't it? This city won't need the sun, although the sun may shine in the moon, because the presence of God in this city will be the light of the city, and that throughout the whole 1,000-year reign of Christ and throughout all eternity.
And the kings of the earth will bring their glory and honour unto it.
Well, this is the interesting piece, you see. And this is what causes the problem. The nations are going to bring to this city their honour and their glory. So we've got nations. We know, of course, we've got the nation of Israel, and she is eternal. But now it talks about the nation bringing into this city honour and glory. That's why there's this difficulty to discern whether it's just the eternal state, or whether now we're back in the millennium, when nations in the millennial reign of Christ will actually bring their honour and glory unto this holy city, the New Jerusalem, in which the presence of God is so evident, and now bring unto God their honour and glory.
And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day.
Furthermore, the gates will not be shut, not at all by night, because there'll be no night there. You only shut the gates at night time. And of course, there was a ritual, as far as Israel was concerned, for the shutting of the gates of the city. And so we find the gates will not be shut because there'll be no night there. And so we find that what John is seeing in this particular chapter, this wonderful description of what he saw in the earlier verses, this holy city, this new Jerusalem, is now describing it in material terms, for it is a literal city, but using figurative language in places for us to get a glimpse and a grasp of the glory of this city in which God will dwell, and so will the Lamb.
And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth.
Now, it's very interesting, isn't it? That this city will be altogether pure, for nothing that defileth will ever enter in. And so we find that this city will be altogether different to the to what was existing in Jerusalem when John wrote. For defilement could enter in, but not now. This city will never be defiled, never be polluted. It will be altogether holy, and the glory of God will be in it. And so we find that in these opening verses, down to about verse 16, are we?
City lies four square in the breadth of his land.
Yeah. So this city will be four square, and we find that its beauty and its purity will be maintained throughout the whole of the reign of Christ, if that's being referred to, and throughout all eternity. Nothing that ever defiles will ever be allowed to enter in.
That's the end of the chapter.
And so we find that when you get to the first five verses of chapter 22.
Not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And those who are the abominations shall make of the life, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
So the inhabitants, of course, of this city will be those whose names are already written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Remember what the Lord said to the disciples? Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And so we find the inhabitants of this city which John saw, which he describes for us in language that we can understand, we find that nothing will defile it, and only those whose names are written in the Book of Life will actually enter into it. And so when you come to the opening five verses of chapter 22, John continues then to tell us about a river and a tree and a man. Takes us right back, of course, to Genesis chapter 2, for there we have a river, and we have a tree, we have a man. But that's ready now for next week in the will of God. Thank you.